Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
He was teaching.
Yeah. Yes, teaching. Mm-hmm. And so then him looking at options like, can I teach online?
Mm-hmm.
And also balancing that I want to do something for free for the good of the community, but also I was getting paid for this in-person class.
Yeah.
What is fair to ask in a situation like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of artists are struggling with, particularly the ones who are doing it as their bread and butter. What
yeah.
is fair under these circumstances when everyone's struggling to ask someone to give to support?
Right, and I think it's interesting because, you know, in the regular world before all this, an art class, an acting class, a concert you would go to, you pay a certain amount. It's a ticket. It's a cost, you know, a workshop fee, whatever. You pay that. And now I'm seeing more and more that the same people that would have been leading those workshops, teaching those classes, performing those concerts, you know, they are asking, you know, hey, just donation, whatever you can afford. I mean, these are people whose, you know, livelihood is gone. I mean, they're no longer touring musicians. They're not going out on their gigs that they had scheduled a year and a half in advance. Those have all been canceled. You know, their income stream went from, you know, whatever they were used to virtually nothing. So whether it's acting, whether it's music, dance, I mean, like I said, the performance arts are slightly different category than visual arts. Visual arts, you can do a virtual exhibit. You know, you can put your artwork on your website and sell it. Or you can submit it to a virtual exhibit that's offering sales. Writers can self-publish and sell those books, or you know, there's a lot of but performance art, you know, by definition, is supposed to have an audience there, you know, and so those are the people who are going to be the artists who are most impacted, I think, in trying to get really creative with digital content, and I feel for them, and I hope we can help. You know, encourage them to do that. So, you know, keep us apprised of what Spike comes up with, because I think that'll help a lot of people.
Sure. Yeah, I think this would be a great time to transition into art funding and some of the resources that are out there. If we do have some of those, especially bread and butter artists who are really needing help right now.
Yes.
I know you had found some of those. Would you like to?
Briefly. I know that there are a lot of ways to find art funding. What the impact on art funding includes things like live performances, revenue, grants. Grant givers are scrambling to try to find, you know, how to get the money to the people who need it, and that kind of thing. And I know that some organizations have already instituted new grant possibilities. But I think my go-to list always includes the Indiana Arts Commission, the Indy Arts Council, Hamilton County Tourism, Indiana Humanities, and for broader purposes, the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts. So those are ones that I receive emails from all of those groups. And for example, the Indy Arts Council estimated that closures due to the COVID-19 public health crisis are causing losses affecting at least 30,000 artists, administrators, and workers, and 125 plus, more than 125 arts and cultural organizations that comprise Indy's creative economy. Now that's Indianapolis specific almost. So, I mean, the Indy Arts Council is the Arts Council of Indianapolis. So those numbers are, you know, Marion County, Indianapolis numbers. If you think about that and then think about the rest of the state, imagine the numbers. anyway, 95% of individual artists, inclusive of all disciplines, music, dance, visual art, theater, literary, media, everything, anticipate significant losses, with a majority estimating critical impact in financial stability. I think it's equally devastating for Indy's nonprofit arts and cultural organizations and statewide. The Indy Arts Council reports that 2/3 of the reporting nonprofit arts and cultural organizations are facing significant financial losses related to cancellations and closures, and more than half anticipate the need for emergency relief within 1 to 3 months to continue just operating. That was information that was very, early on. I would say, well, time is a weird thing. I'd say like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, early on. On March 19th, I got an email from the Indy Arts Council that said that that in conjunction with community funders, they were announcing a $5,000 Indy Arts and Culture COVID-19 Emergency Relief Fund to help support artists and afflicted workers of all disciplines experiencing severe losses. And they're thinking it's going to reach more than the 1,000 arts and culture closures and cancellations. That's in Indianapolis alone. For those of you who are in the Indianapolis area or might qualify, go to www.indykeepscreating.org for more information about that relief fund and see if you qualify. I think the another statewide organization, my favorite statewide organization in the world, is the Indiana Arts Commission. And they have a specific web page, how COVID-19 is impacting the arts in Indiana. And that's at www.in.gov/arts/3263.htm. If you just go to in.gov, you'll be able to find their page. But that specific page has links to resources available for artists and arts organizations, and they are updating it all the time. So those are two. I know Hamilton County Tourism is updating, not just for arts, but for like everything, all businesses that are like restaurants that are doing curbside or carry out, so they're trying to keep a list up, ongoing, updated of a variety of relief efforts and how we as consumers can help businesses stay afloat. So it's not easy, not easy at all. But there is a lot of information out there for relief efforts. When you and I talked privately, I had looked into some of those, and it's great. I mean, it's wonderful that so many funders were able to come up right away with good relief efforts. But like all things, getting the details of how you qualify, what the qualifications are, how do you prove to them that you are in need? I don't know all those answers. Those are probably going to become, personal as you go on those websites and try to find the relief funds that match you. That's going to be the challenge for a lot of independent artists and organizations, I think.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of the Indiana Arts Commission, which you and I both love.
Yes.
Shout out to them.
Yes.
I attended a Zoom/online Facebook yes. conference, and they were basically just talking about how is this impacting artists, what are resources for them. And some takeaways I got from that I'd like to share.
Yes, please do.
The national stimulus package that was passed, something to take away from that is while unemployment does not usually apply to self-employed individuals, the stimulus package may actually extend this benefit to self-employed people, including the self-employed artists. It is worth looking into because of the pandemic.
Right.
FEMA actually, because this is now considered a national disaster, FEMA also offers support due to national disasters, so that's another resource to look into. Reaching out to Patreon, to your supporters, emailing them for support, like you mentioned some organizations
yeah.
are doing. Also looking to different grants and foundations, like they mentioned Joan Mitchell Foundation, Tremaine Foundation, the Alliance of Artist Communities, Artist Relief Tree. loans from the Small Business Administration. Now, I've gotten some conflicting information on of the loans out there. It seems like some need to be paid back,
right.
Some might be forgiven, so I would just advise do your research, people,
yeah.
Before you take money.
Right.
And then just the logical curtail your own expenses as much as you can. Now, if you have employees in your organization, if you're that big, there are definitely resources out there that you can use the economic stimulus package to retain your employees,
right.
So they can help you retain,
right.
Those. Something to also think of is go ahead and ask the people who have given you grants, the people who maybe are your landlords, hey, because of this situation, are you willing to extend a deadline,
mm-hmm.
to maybe take that rent a little bit later? But if,
yeah.
you don't ask, they might not,
yeah,
offer.
They, yeah, exactly. And that, I think, is going to be a whole new world for a lot of people because, you know, asking for help is hard for so many people in a normal, you know, normal situation. This is going to be really hard. This pandemic situation is going to be hard for some people to ask for help, but we all have to be supportive and encourage because, you know, like you said, you don't know until you ask, and the person you're asking doesn't know that you need the help until you ask. So yeah, I think that's crucial to just treat each other as human beings and don't be afraid to ask. And if someone asks you, try to work it out. You know, if you're in the position of, for lack of a better phrase off the top of my head, power, you know, and authority over people, whether it's their place of work or apartment or mortgage, or, you know, try to just work it out with them, because everybody deserves to have a roof over their head and be able to make it through these terrible times. And
sure.
And get off on a tangent again, but you know, yeah.
Another free resource that I thought, oh, I never would have thought of that, but that's a really good free resource, is the Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. And why this is important is as organizations are moving online,
mm-hmm.
something that they may not have considered about, hey, I'm going to reference this in my in-person class, now it's out on YouTube,
right.
It's out online. There could
copyrights.
Be different copyright laws, yep. in place, and so the Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, it was recommended to go to them to find out what exactly can you do. And hopefully you already are thinking about copyright and in-person,
yeah.
classes,
yeah.
but it could be a separate then set of copyright issues you're dealing with when you move online.
Yeah, true. Very true. Yeah. Which, you know, again, with the increase in digital content and alternative ways to go public, stuff like that is just going to, there's just going to be more and more and more that we learn as we go is important to pay attention to and research and understand. So, yeah, definitely.
Great. Would you like to talk a little bit, Alice, about alternative ways that people can go public?
Yeah, I'll get started with that. I mean, I'm not the most savvy person in the world, you know, at my great age and everything. But I think I could definitely say the challenge with digital content, one of the challenges, is not everybody is going to have great audiovisual equipment. And, you know, this is something that we talked about a little bit ago, is it, you know, going through that for our 501c3, try to come up with the equipment and everything that makes our podcasts and our videos, you know, reasonably okay. Not everybody is going to have that. So going digital with your art can be very challenging. And we already talked, you know, artist income is probably going to be impacted. And touring musicians, my gosh, their impact is severe and everything. I've seen many of the musicians that I know are offering online music lessons and concerts live on Facebook and through other sites, and I see a lot of these are, you know, they're basically free, but they're asking for donations. It's again that they don't have ticket sales anymore, so, you know, they're trying to do the donation thing through Apple Pay, PayPal, Square. Is Apple Pay, I'm not an Apple person. Is Apple Pay the right, I don't know if that's the right name.
I am not sure.
Whatever Apple uses for pay, I don't know, Square, things like that. So first of all, you know, if you've never had a PayPal account or a Square account or one of those services that allows you to accept and send money online, I strongly encourage you to sign up with PayPal or Square, because those are fairly common, popular, verified, safe, secure platforms for you to accept money and send money. And right now we want to talk about accepting money, you know, yeah. And then you will, if you're a visual artist and you already have a website, consider adding a shop page. Look into, you know, the kind of e-commerce settings that you need and add-ons you might, you know, it might cost a little bit to add those add-ons to your website. But there are also other sites that kind of do all the work for you, like Fine Art America. I've sold prints on Fine Art America for years. And basically all I do is I pay a yearly amount to have my account. I can upload as many images as I want. It's unlimited. I'm pretty sure I've got over 900 images up there now. Not all of them are great, but hey, I put everything up there because you never know. Art is subjective. And Fine Art America then accepts orders for prints, and they have a variety of products, you know, and between their sister website pixels.com and fineartamerica.com, you can get art prints, you can get shower curtains, you can get tapestries, you can get mugs, you can get t-shirts, you can get your art prints can be traditional on paper, framed, whatever, or you can get canvas prints, you can get acrylic prints, you can get metal prints. I mean, it's just, it's almost endless what they can print on. And the wonderful thing about that I love Fine Art America and Pixels, because I upload my images. Someone in anywhere in the world, you know, can buy a print from me. And my only interaction is I will get a notification that that Fine Art America has sent my PayPal account some money. I don't package anything, I don't print anything, I don't ship anything. Fine Art America does all that for me. So the actual interaction with the sale is between the buyer and Fine Art America. It's, you know, I just get the money, which, you know, is nice. So talk about virtual, you know, hands free, you know. So I strongly encourage visual artists to do that. I know that for musicians, Bandcamp, for example, is, I'm not a musician, so I'm not sure how popular Bandcamp is right now, but I did get an email from Bandcamp on the 19th of March. The 19th of March was a big day for emails, and they were saying that they were letting their artists, their musicians know that they had waived their revenue share on all sales on a certain date from midnight to midnight, and so they wanted to have, and I think they're going to keep doing this on a regular basis, picking certain days where the Bandcamp itself is not collecting fees. The artist would get 100% of whatever is being purchased. So, you know, that's, they're doing their part, you know, and I'm sure some of the other music platforms that I'm not that familiar with are also trying to work with musicians. I've noticed on, like, I sometimes buy paint or canvas from Blick Art Materials online, and they suddenly had like a whole bunch of things go into their clearance and sale list for like kids' art kits, puzzles, games, fabric and leather painting, decorating supplies, adult comic books, all kinds of art supplies, paints, colored pencils, etc. So, you know, they still need to make a buck, you know, but discounting things because of the rise in, you know, kids being at home and essentially being homeschooled, you know, for the foreseeable future, and artists, you know, wanting to keep producing artwork but trying not to spend a lot of money on supplies. I mean, I'm not going to buy paint anytime soon, but I'm going to use up what I've got, you know. But so that's, you know, that's something that I've noticed. And
this has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.